4 years ago, in a secret White House meeting, Director Brennan of the CIA briefed President Obama, Vice President Biden, James Comey, and a small cadre of the intelligence community on a plot involving Russia to alter the 2016 election. That's a fact. But the details are certainly not the narrative that you've been fed. We were told that it was Donald Trump colluding with Russia, that the election was compromised. We spent almost 3 years and over $32 million chasing that fairy tale. But the Mueller report found nothing. Turns out that Donald Trump was not in cahoots with the Russians. It was all a ruse set up by the Clinton campaign to take the heat off her massive email scandal. Join me in the economic war room as we walk step by step through the plot to destroy our constitutional republic. We'll explain just how the deep state and cultural Marxists have conspired against President Trump, and we will learn what they have planned for this year's election. Win or lose, they have a plot to take over our country. Here's what we now know. The Obama and Biden administration has weaponized the intelligence community against a legitimate presidential candidate and later set in motion a plan to take down a duly elected president. Those are now indisputable facts documented by the very ones who perpetrated the crime and now released for the public to see if anyone will notice. What happened? We have handwritten notes from former CIA Director John Brennan that conclusively show that Obama-Biden were briefed on the fact that candidate Clinton was going to tie Trump to Russia to derail his campaign and distract from the Clinton email scandal. So what did Obama-Biden do? They doubled down, illegally throwing the full weight of government in for Clinton. Unfortunately, this has been denied, obfuscated, and covered up by a complicit media. But our nation is at stake. This is way worse than Watergate. At any point, there should be a flood of declassified documents that will provide further in-depth detail on the crime of the century. Will you be allowed to see them? You will if you join us in the economic war room. You know, if these truths had implicated Trump, you would see nothing else from now until Election Day. Instead, we get political theater on whether or not someone wore a mask while attending an outside sporting event. And if you try and talk about this stuff, Twitter and Facebook will shadow ban you or ban you outright. By the way, did you hear that the State Department announced that they have found the 30,000 deleted emails from Hillary Clinton's home server? They were able to retrieve them despite the felonious activity taken to bleach bit the server and destroy copies. The cover-up and evidence destruction was initially deemed illegal by the FBI top lawyer and clearly was illegal for anyone who cared to follow the law. Instead of rooting out the truth at the time, however, the intelligence community was plotting against candidate Donald Trump. Now, I've witnessed the politicization of the intelligence community for at least a dozen years. It's gotten so bad that our nation's future is now at stake. When you have the FBI and the CIA in the tank for one political party, there can be little hope for America. It gets worse when that foreign powers seemingly control that political party. So as a summary, we now have rock-solid evidence that, one, Hillary Clinton illegally used a home server for classified government communications. That would be go-to-jail time for any normal American. Two, Hillary Clinton's team illegally covered up and destroyed the evidence and obstructed justice. Never forget the totally inappropriately and likely illegal Bill Clinton meeting with Obama Attorney General Lynch on the tarmac. Three, the Obama-Biden Justice Department covered for Hillary and failed to follow through on either getting the evidence or prosecuting the crimes. Four, Hillary Clinton's campaign then launched a fake news story of Trump-Russian collusion to distract from her malfeasance. They funded a now fully debunked dossier to carry out their scheme. Five, Obama-Biden knew without question that the dossier was totally fabricated and even without any substantiation whatsoever. But instead of sharing this truth with the American public, the Obama-Biden team seeded the false information into the intelligence community as an insurance policy to be used in the case if Donald Trump just happened to win. After a resounding Trump victory, the insurance policy was then used to distract the Trump team, sideline the incoming National Security Advisor Flynn, and waste the people's money with a lengthy and failed Mueller investigation. When that all failed, the same players then created a fake controversy surrounding a Ukraine phone call. The deep state essentially accused President Donald Trump of doing what former Vice President Biden did in the open, threatening to withhold aid. And even he bragged about it. Biden was covering up his son's corruption at Burisma by demanding the firing of a Ukraine prosecutor who was investigating Burisma. Take a look at this video where Biden brags about getting the prosecutor fired.
Said, "I'm not going to, we're not going to give you the $1 billion. They said, "You have no authority. You're not the president." The president said, I said, "Call him." I said, "I'm telling you, you're not getting $1 billion. I said, "You're not getting $1 billion. I'm going to be leaving here." And I think it was, what, 6 hours? I looked, I said, "I'm leaving in 6 hours. If the prosecutor's not fired, you're not getting the money." Well, son of a bitch. Got fired. And they put in place someone who was solid at the time.
That's pretty clear. What's also clear is that the prosecutors that got fired has testified he was fired because he was looking into Burisma. Burisma paid Hunter Biden $50,000 per month, despite having no experience and also a serious drug problem. The facts are clear, but the media continues to hide them from you, falsely claiming, "Oh, nothing to see here. We've looked at it. It's all been..." No. The fake Ukraine probe was used to justify a partisan impeachment effort that unnecessarily occupied the White House this January at the very time the pandemic was beginning to spread. We're very fortunate that President Trump did implement travel restrictions from China, something that Biden called xenophobic. Sadly, the American media has not shared these obvious truths. But instead, they've spun an unbelievable narrative to make President Trump look like the bad guy here. Yet despite all of this, the Trump administration has an impressive set of first-term accomplishments. Former never-Trumper David Sound in The Federalist listed 9 major accomplishments that made him say he would crawl through broken glass to vote for Trump. It's sort of an amazing list. You should see it. We put it in our battle plan, given all the efforts of the deep state to derail him. And that list is why they hate him so much. And we'll do just about anything to stop him. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about the Transition Integrity Project. That's deep state code for game planning the election. What you learn will shock you. People who brought you the Russian collusion hoax and the phony impeachment scandal have developed a contingency plan for any and every outcome of the November election. Their clear intention is to dramatically and permanently change America. Their game plan is brought to you by the nefarious and ironically named Transition Integrity Project. It sounds so nice, but it is a clear and present danger to our constitutional republic. As we will see with startling new findings, they have zero interest in transition integrity. Quite the opposite. This is wholly about seizing power. So just what is the Transition Integrity Project? Here's a description from direct excerpts from the report that they placed on the internet. They say, in June 2020, TIP organized 4 scenario exercises to identify risks to the rule of law or to the integrity of the democratic process in between Election Day and Inauguration Day. At this point, it seems possible that either candidate may achieve an electoral victory. But the goal of the scenario was to gain a better understanding of the tests of our democratic institutions. They go on and say 67 people participated as active players in one or more of the scenario exercises. While dozens more participated in the exercises as observers and offered feedback, participants included both major political parties, former high-ranking government officials, senior political campaigners, nationally prominent journalists and communication professionals, social movement leaders, experts on politics, national security, democratic reform, election law, and media. Hogwash. If you didn't know better, they make it sound like a plan to defend rather than subvert the Constitution. But if you look closely, it quickly becomes apparent that their goal is radical anti-constitutional change, regardless of the election outcome. And don't take my word for it. Read the entire document. We will link to it in our economic battle plan. And you can download that free at economicwarroom.com. In fact, we'll give you all sorts of links so you can look and see what MSN says about it, what CNN says, what Fox says. They all acknowledge that this project is not only real, but in some cases, it's revered. This report is so unbelievable, and yet very few in America know that it exists. Even fewer understand the earth-shaking implications. This truth must get out before it's too late. Now, here are a few things to note about the report. One, it begins with a clear anti-Trump bias. It's no way bipartisan. While blaming Trump for all sorts of things, it completely ignores the full-on, well-documented, worse-than-Watergate coup attempt that was perpetrated against him. So here's their explanation for why they did the project. The project was launched in late 2019 out of concern that the Trump administration may seek to manipulate, ignore, undermine, or disrupt the 2020 presidential election and transition process. Those assumptions are as biased as you can get. They never question Biden's motives, just always blaming Trump. They go on and say, the people involved are uniformly anti-Trumpers. They didn't say this. This is what Byron York says when he says, few participants, John Podesta, Donna Brazile, Jennifer Granholm, Bill Kristol, Max Boot, other anti-Trumpers. Yes, that John Podesta, the same spirit-cooking guy that was released in WikiLeaks. He plays a lead role in this. And they call it bipartisan. But the so-called Republicans are all avowed never-Trumpers, and they're Biden supporters. This is the very same tactic that they're using with the so-called bipartisan debate commission. There's not a Trump supporter among them. President Trump continues to have massive Republican support. A Gallup survey in September said 94% of Republicans approve of his job performance. So it's not like they couldn't find a pro-Trump Republican to include. They just didn't. And they list four scenarios. They talk about things that they can war game and walk through. And they're all a clear setup to delegitimize any Trump victory. So Appendix C shows Game 1, ambiguous result. Game 2, clear Biden victory. Game 3, clear Trump win. Game 4, narrow Biden win. In all four scenarios, the project lays out a path to remake America. For example, here's what they suggest should happen in the case of a clear Trump win. They say the gameplay ended in a constitutional crisis with threats of secession and the potential for either a decline into authoritarianism, which means pro-Trump, that's what they're saying, or a radically revamped set of democratic rules that ensure the popular will prevails, something they think is good, by abolishing the Electoral College, making D.C. and Puerto Rico states, and other changes. Even the clear Trump victory is shown as an Electoral College win, but still losing the popular vote. They give no consideration of a Trump polling popular victory. While that fits the media narrative and most polling, it doesn't match intelligent analysis of the situation unless you assume there's going to be serious election fraud. Despite the polls, Trump has the momentum and the enthusiasm, and all that really matters according to the Constitution is the Electoral College. Still, Hillary told Joe Biden, don't concede under any circumstances.
This is a big organizational challenge, but at least we know more about what they're going to do. And, you know, Joe Biden should not concede under any circumstances because I think this is going to drag out. And eventually, I do believe he will win if we don't give an inch.
Not under any circumstances, not even if Trump clearly wins the Electoral College? By the way, Did you know that there was a plan cooked up in the White House after Trump won in 2016 to not let him become president? This is shocking but true, according to our source. We'll put a link to that in the economic battle plan. So when you put it all together, they're the ones that don't want to have a good transition, and yet they blame President Trump. But let's get back to this year and what the project says will happen in the case of a clear Trump Electoral College win. Let me read from the report. It says, the most consequential action of the first turn was the Biden campaign's retraction of its election night concession. The campaign began the game by encouraging three states with Democratic governors to ask for recounts. As the game developed, governors in two of the three states decided to override their state legislature and send a separate slate of electors. At the end of the first term, the country was in the midst of a full-blown constitutional crisis characterized by political chaos, widespread threats of violence, sporadic actual violence, and a hostile, dangerous, highly partisan, and frequently unconstrained media environment. And that's what they say will happen with a clear Trump win. The Biden campaign encouraged Western states, particularly California, but also Oregon and Washington, known as Cascadia together, to secede from the union. Secede from the union unless congressional Republicans agreed to a set of structural reforms, which are give statehood to Washington, D.C., give statehood to Puerto Rico, divide California into five states to more accurately represent its population, require the Supreme Court justices to retire at age 70, and to eliminate the Electoral College. One of the most consequential moves was that the Biden team on January 6th provoked a breakdown in the joint session of Congress by getting the House of Representatives, Democrat-controlled, to agree to award the presidency to Biden. Look what they're doing. They're talking about causing a constitutional crisis if Trump clearly wins in the Electoral College. This is unbelievable. The Constitution is clear that the winner in the Electoral College is the president, but they want to overturn that. That sounds like a plot for treason. There's no other way to look at it. You should read the document for yourself so you see I'm not making any of this up. And if you think their plans are bad with a clear Trump win, they're much worse with a Biden win. We'll discuss that and more after the next break. Welcome back. We just covered how the left plans to respond if Trump wins. But what if Biden wins? You may have noticed that Joe Biden has already dramatically shifted to the far left. That's so true that even Bernie Sanders is impressed. He's promised that the Biden administration would be the most progressive since FDR. That's code for he's one of us now. That's troubling to say the least, given Sanders' love for Marxist dictators. There are even reports that President Obama is concerned for the push to the left that has been so severe. Despite what he says now, Joe Biden has stood firmly against America's fossil fuel renaissance, promising to end the fossil fuels, promising to end fracking. He can't admit that now because he would lose badly in energy states. But both he and Kamala are very clear on record during the primaries, and the financial markets understand this. Joe Biden has also adopted the radical LGBTQ agenda. He's advocated for an 8-year-old who wants to have a sex change operation. He has a far progressive climate agenda, even supporting the framework of the Green New Deal, whether he admits it or not. He's been vocally defending Obamacare, even as his plan would radically undo it with a push to a single-payer system. Beyond that, everyone must know by now that the radical left wants Biden to push a court-packing plan that FDR tried to implement, but they refused to do it. Biden has also tried to be cagey regarding his tax plans. He promises to repeal the Trump tax cuts on day one, And that would, without question, raise taxes on most Americans, even those with lower income. A James Madison Institute study showed that in the spending alone, the Biden plan would cost $49,000 per family over a decade. That's almost an entire year's income for an average family. Even a Bloomberg report acknowledges that his announced plans would stifle the economy. There are many other issues we could share, but the most in-your-face issue is the Biden's family corruption. This story gets worse by the hour, and the White House is obviously trying to get the story out, but others are trying to cover it up. It's obvious that Hunter Biden was selling access to his father in the White House to groups, sketchy groups in the Ukraine, China, and Russia. The story seems to have been corroborated by an abandoned laptop and also a former business partner. While Joe Biden denies knowing anything about Hunter's business dealings, he did take him on Air Force Two to China on a business trip. And shortly after, he got $1.5 billion investment from the Chinese. And there are emails, and they appear to indicate that these deals would not have happened without Joe Biden's involvement. And that does seem to be a reasonable notion. Hunter Biden was forced out of the Navy for drug abuse, and he's had ongoing challenges in this area, according to police reports. It's hard to imagine that the wife of Moscow's mayor would give him $3.5 million outside of his connection to his father. We also know that Joe Biden is a totalitarian when it comes to enforcing dubious health mandates. He's mentioned mandatory national lockdowns, something even the World Health Organization says now is a bad idea. And leading scientists agree. He's also called for a national mask mandate. In a public health crisis, he feels it acceptable to suspend the Constitution. Don't forget that racism has been called a public health crisis. What other unconstitutional things is he willing to do? Likewise, climate change has been called a public health crisis. Is that a reason to tear up the Constitution? Maybe he thinks so. Then, of course, there's a plan to defeat conservative America once and for all with tricks like creating new states out of Puerto Rico and the District of Columbia, eliminating the Electoral College, opening the borders with amnesty and quick citizenship. That would guarantee a permanent Democrat popular majority. Estimates suggest that the Biden-Harris plan would add 52 million new immigrants. We also know and have covered in this show that Joe Biden has pledged to end shareholder capitalism. He wants, when you invest in something, he wants your investment to serve everybody in society without regard to whether or not it gets you a good return. Finally, we now know that Biden is remarkably comfortable with social media censorship as long as it benefits him. He loved that Facebook and Twitter banned any discussion of Hunter's corruption. That has ominous implications. When you add it all up, no wonder Bernie Sanders says Joe Biden would be the most progressive president in history. But even this may not be radical enough. We know that because Nancy Pelosi has planned to create a 25th Amendment commission. The speaker, you know, the one who tore up the State of the Union address, she admits this isn't aimed at President Trump, even though she questions his abilities. She says it's for a future president. Of course, she knows that Joe Biden would be the oldest elected president in history. She's well aware of the questions about his mental competence. And she understands that Kamala Harris was handpicked to be ready on day one, according to Biden himself. In fact, both Joe and Kamala have recently slipped calling this a Harris-Biden administration. This is the progressives' insurance policy. If Biden doesn't move fast enough for a complete takedown of our government, they'll move him out and put her in. And anyone paying attention knows that. How about the radical media that has pretended that all the protests were peaceful and not riots? They want to see something akin to the French Revolution. Perhaps that's why they keep bringing up guillotines. And they're serious. Listen to this rant from Keith Olbermann. Watch the video where he demands that conservatives be arrested and removed from society.
Trump can be and must be expunged. The hate he has triggered, the Pandora's box he has opened, they will not be so easily destroyed. So, let us brace ourselves. The task is twofold. The terrorist Trump must be defeated, must be destroyed, must be devoured at the ballot box. And then he and his enablers and his supporters and his collaborators and the Mike Lees and the William Barrs and the Sean Hannitys and the Mike Pences and the Rudy Giulianis and the Kyle Rittenhouses and the Amy Coney Barretts must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society while we try to rebuild it. And to rebuild the world Trump has nearly destroyed by turning it over to a virus. Remember it. Even as we dream of a return to reality and safety and the country for which our forefathers died, that the fight is not just to win an election, but to win it by enough to chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage and then try to clean up what they left. Remember it, even though to remember it means remembering that the fight does not end November 3rd, but in many ways will only begin that day.
That is shocking, but it represents a good number of the Biden supporters. So here are your five assignments. One, get educated. Don't swallow the media Kool-Aid. Research this for yourself by downloading our free economic battle plan at economicwarroom.com. Two, communicate. Spread this truth as widely as possible. Three, encourage others. It's okay to support President Trump. It's not only okay, it's imperative. Four, vote. Encourage others to vote and volunteer to watch the polls. And five, fast and pray. Get right with God. If God's for us, who can be against us? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and darkness, powers, rulers of this present darkness. And per Jesus himself, sometimes this requires fasting and prayer. So we need to fast and pray. I know it doesn't look good, but we'll get through this if we each do our part. And if you're worried about your investments, make sure your financial advisor is on top of all of this. Get him nominated for our investment advisor training at economicwarroom.com/advisor. Remember, what we see as a marketplace, our enemies view as a battle space. This is Kevin Freeman from the Economic War Room.